Today we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. Psalm 119, 1 through 8. No, we're looking at 1 Corinthians, the third chapter today. It is entitled Being the Temple. I'm going to read verses 10 and 11, and if you're following along in your Bible, then I'm going to skip down to verse 16. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one that already is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Verse 16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple. Do not deceive yourselves. If any of you think you are wise by the standards of this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are foolish. So then, no more boasting about human leaders. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or the present, or the future. All are yours, and you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. Foundations. I know that you guys know different things about foundations than I do. Foundations where I grew up weren't always these concrete concrete block structures that were dug into the ground. Many times where I grew up on the beach, foundations were pilings that were 12, 15 feet long that get pounded into the ground, and then the house is put upon those pilings. And I know many of you have seen that as you go to the beaches in different places. You can build in the sand. I know Scripture says that the man who builds in the sand, the house washes away. You can build in the sand if you build the foundation right, but it's got to have that kind of foundation. Now, I will tell you this, there's a place of Virginia Beach called Sandbridge. And I don't know how many of you know about Sandbridge, but at Sandbridge, they have built houses multiple times. And yet the people still buy property there and still build houses, and it seems to be incredibly hard to get the right kind of foundation there. Even if they put it on pilings, a storm comes in, and the houses are gone. I mean, there's not anything left. Completely gone. The pilings that have been pounded into the ground sometimes are even gone. It tears it up so much there. But you see, Paul is talking about the foundation of the church, the foundation of our life. He begins this passage by saying there's only one foundation. There is only one foundation that the church can be built upon, that people can be built upon. There is only one foundation for the believer and for the church, and that is Jesus Christ. I spent a number of years before I came to Christ, about 19 years, trying to build my own foundation, trying to make it last in the midst of this world. And it didn't last. And then even after I came to Christ, I tried once again to build a foundation that I thought would last and would be for all time's sake. But it didn't last. Paul says there is only one foundation, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. I will not steer from that, because I have learned the hard way that that is the only foundation that will last. I started building a house upon that foundation, and then I went in another direction for 7 years of my life, thinking that my foundation was firm and no big deal, and I could build a few wings over here and a few wings over here without being attached to that foundation, and everything would be fine. And that's not true. The theology that I learned from my African friends in Kenya, I like a whole lot better. They've got a different way of looking at this. Instead of a foundation, it's what holds the house up. For you see, their original houses were not square houses like ours are, or rectangular houses. Their original houses that they built were round. And as they had this round building, what held it all up was the pole right in the center that held the roof up and held the walls up. And if you take that one pole out of their house, the whole house collapses. That one pole. They see Jesus Christ as that one pole that holds everything together, that holds everything the way that God wants. That one pole. Now for us, once we realize where the foundation is and what kind of foundation we have, each person is responsible for the how they build on this foundation. Each person is responsible for how they build on this foundation. You have the choice of what you want to use to build upon this foundation. We may have the foundation of Jesus Christ, but if we build with the wrong materials, they will not last. I'm guessing that all of you know about the children's story. That, watch my wife cringe as I tell you the children's story. The three little pigs and the big bad wolf. Because of my upgrowing and my accent, I have a hard time pronouncing W-O-L-F. If you hear me, I say wolf. There's no L in the word when I pronounce it. I know that, but I still know what I'm talking about, and you do now too. But you know about this story, don't you? And how some of these houses, maybe they were built on a good foundation, but they were built with the wrong materials. Materials that did not last. Till you get to that last little piggy, right? But I want you to think about, how about our lives? What are you using as an individual, as each individual person here, what are you using to build on that proper foundation of Jesus Christ? Are you using sticks? Are you using straw? Are you using bricks? Are you using gold or silver? How are you building your relationship with God? That's what Paul is talking about here. How are you building that relationship with God? You're responsible for how you build your building. But then Paul takes this one step further that we often don't hear in English. We don't hear it because not everybody's from the South. People from the South would say it correctly and would translate this correctly. But people from other parts of our country translate verse 16 wrong. Listen to how it is in our translation. It says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst?" The proper southern way to translate this statement is, "Don't y'all know that y'all are the temple of God and that God's Spirit dwells in y'all's midst?" That is the proper way to translate it. Because Paul's not talking about one person anymore. You see, in English, I can use the word "you" to mean one person or a whole group of people, right? This is where I say English is defective. We got a word that means two different things all at once. And we can grab a hold of this text and we can say, God's Spirit lives within me, and therefore I am the temple of God, and I don't need anyone else. And that's not what Paul is saying. Paul is saying that God's Holy Spirit dwells in us all together as a collective. As one lady in my previous church would want me to say, God's Spirit lives in all y'all. Okay? I tried to explain to her that's the same thing as a double negative and it makes a single person, but she didn't buy that. God's Spirit dwells in all y'all. Don't you know that? Don't you know that collectively we are God's temple? We need to realize, the next thing we need to do is we need to realize that the Holy Spirit inhabits us through the whole community, not just through individuals. God's Spirit inhabits us through the whole community, not just individuals. In America, we're taught a whole lot about individualism, aren't we? We're taught about I do it my way. Matter of fact, there's a famous song for that, isn't there? I do it my way. This is my thing. This is my relationship with God. I've run into Christians that say, I don't need other Christians because I can go to God myself and God's Holy Spirit lives within me. And you know what I say to them? You're right. But why would you miss out on the benefits of being part of a community of believers? Why would you miss out on being part of a community that has the Holy Spirit within them and is listening for what the Holy Spirit has to say? Sometimes I don't get it right. Sometimes I think I know what the Holy Spirit is saying and how the Holy Spirit is leading, and sometimes I don't get it right. You ever had that occasion in your life? I think I know that this is what God is saying to me, and this is how the Holy Spirit is directing me, and as I get further and further down that path, I find out I have walked down the wrong path. And now I've got to backtrack. That's the benefit of being part of a community. That's the benefit of being part of a community, that someone can come to me and say, are you sure? Have you got it right? Because I'm hearing the Holy Spirit say this, but you say you're hearing this. It's a time for us to discern together. It's a time for us to talk. I'm going to share with you a myth that some people believe. Some people actually believe that when the pastor gets up every morning, the pastor gets a phone call from heaven, and God tells them everything that they need to do that day, and who they need to see, and who is in the hospital, and who needs to talk to who, and how to lead the church every step of the way for that day. Would it surprise you to find out I don't get a phone call from God every morning? God doesn't tell me everything. Did you hear me? God does not tell me everything. Sometimes God speaks the thing that's needed for the community to you, not me. So that we can function together as a community, so that we can realize that the Holy Spirit inhabits all of us together, and the Holy Spirit is working and leading and guiding all of us in the same direction. And when we're at odds or at conflict with one another, or one's thinking they're hearing this and another thinking we're hearing that, it's time for us to take some time and and say, what is the Holy Spirit really saying? Maybe we need to listen more. Maybe we need to discuss more. I'm a firm believer in the fact that God may say something to you that God never says to anybody else in the congregation. And when God speaks to you through the Holy Spirit, it's for you to speak up to the whole community of believers. That's what it's for. And when you hold that back, we can't build on this foundation that God's asking us to build on, because we're missing a piece of the building. We're missing a piece of what's happening and what's going on. We're missing a piece of how God wants us to be structured, how God wants us to work. You see, it says, once again, don't y'all know that you all are God's temple? And that God's Spirit dwells in all y'all. It's in the plural, in the Greek. It's not in the singular. We've got to work together. We've got to be listening together. And then there's a real danger that comes in the next verse. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple. This means that we need to work in union with one another to discern the will of God for our community. We need to work in union. We need to all be listening as well as we can listen. We all need to be conversating with one another. Is that even a word? Conversating? Y'all know what I meant, right? That must be another one of them southern words I learned from somewhere. I don't know. We all need to be conversating with one another. We need to be talking with one another. This is what I hear God saying. This is where I believe that God's directing us. This is where, and as we work that out together, it's about being excited and encouraging one another. As I talked in the prayer time this morning, one of the verses that I love is, it comes from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. In the NASB, it says, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. In the NIV, it says, let us consider how to spur one another on to love and good deeds. In the NRSV, it's very shocking. It says, let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds. How about you? Are you about provoking? Are you about stimulating? Are you about spurring on? Are you about listening for what the Holy Spirit has to say for this community as a whole? And speaking up on what the Spirit asks you to speak about. And see, when you hold that back, you're one of the people that's destroying the community. When you fight against what the Holy Spirit's leading and guiding us to do as a community, that's when this warning you should pay attention to. You see, God has placed us all together for a reason. And to use all of our talents and all of our skills and all of who we are in the midst of Withville and With County. As crazy as that might seem, that's what God's asking. And the Holy Spirit is inhabiting us to do that. So working against community and union carries a great warning for the one who seeks another way. You see, folks, we need to be careful. And that's all the more reason that we need, I'm going to use my word again, that's all the more reason that we need to be conversating with one another and talking with one another about what we see God saying in our midst and how we hear God because I don't get to hear everything. I can sit in my office and say, God, I want to know everything about leading this church. And God says, okay, but you're going to hear this piece through that person. And you're going to hear this piece through that person. And you're going to hear this piece through that person. So that we realize that we need to work together. Because all y'all are the kingdom of God. All y'all are God's temple. All y'all are the place that God inhabits through the Holy Spirit. And we've got to work with one another. I'm going to spend next Sunday morning talking with our young adults about hearing God speak. We're going to take a break from studying the book of Esther for a week, and we're going to talk about hearing God speak. And some of the comments I heard from them is comments I hear from many other people. Oh, I wish God would just speak an audible voice, and that way I would know for sure exactly what my next step is. Amen? Wouldn't everybody want that? From heaven comes this voice. I want you to step in this direction. And we all back up and go, whoa, that was scary. I don't know about that, right? I told them this morning, I have heard God's audible voice. It does not happen often, but I have heard it very clearly. And I continue to live my life as a pastor because I heard it very clearly. And there are times and moments that I have to go back and listen and refresh my mind that I heard something so clearly from heaven. It was a word spoken right directly to me. And folks, the same thing can happen for you. And that's how God wants to inhabit this community that we have joined together to be. God wants to speak a word to you. Now, was that the only thing I heard to make sure that I was in the right place? The amazing thing was that other people came to me and said the exact same thing that God had said. And I said, wow, this must be from God. Because I didn't even say anything to him. Folks, the Holy Spirit inhabits us as a community of believers. And we need to support and encourage one another and spur one another on to love and good deeds. We need to sometimes provoke some folks in a good way. Provoke towards love and good deeds. This is an exciting thing, isn't it? As the Holy Spirit speaks, we're to respond. So here's the question I'm going to leave with you today. How can you better interact with the community to help see the Holy Spirit and discern the will of God? How can you better interact with the community that has been built here at Withville Baptist Church to help see the Holy Spirit and discern the will of God? Because the truth is, if we can do that, this building is not big enough for what God wants to do in this town. Amen? If we can hear with the Holy Spirit, see the Holy Spirit, if we can discern the will of God by living as the community that God's calling us to be, this building is not big enough for what God wants to do in Southwest Virginia. I'm convinced of that. I am convinced of that. How are you helping process to discern, to see, to hear the Holy Spirit, that this community might grow in a dynamic way